over. This is channel one over. This is the beginning of channel one over. I'm getting ready for Willie on Monday morning, the 16th of February, 1970. Getting ready for Willie on Monday morning, the 16th of February, 1970. And this is channel one over. This is channel one over. I'm getting ready for Willie on Monday, the 16th of February, 1970.
You mean you don't think there's anything to this business of just going out and riding a horse for pleasure?
You get sore and all stove up.
A horse has got so much sense, Willie.
Oh, yes, man. You know, we had one that would open a barn door if you didn't have it locked. And it's hard for us children to get the latch open. Thank you, ma'am.
Yeah.
So it was hard for us to open it. You remember, I doubt you do. You weren't raised on a farm, were you?
Well,
no,
I have a lot of money. Do you have cream?
No, thank you.
Sugar.
I had, yes, I might eat a little bit of that sugar. Thank you. I had this old barn latch.
Good morning.
Hello there, Mr. Miles. How you
hey,
doing?
Hey, is that coffee I made?
Yeah.
Well, it's not worth drinking. Give him some.
What's wrong with it?
Oh, it's just awful. Go ahead.
What's it taste like?
Give him, put the pot on. Please, just do what I ask you to.
Will it float a white iron wedge?
No, it's sour.
Sour?
I don't know. It's bitter.
Well, then that's different. Sour and bitter is two different things. But anyway, we had this old horse. He's talking about these horses, you know. They ain't nothing but dead weight. And this old horse, guy, you've seen these old timey latches where you got a staple here, and you push this latch up, and then you got a little finger flip thing comes over and a safety keeper, you know, to be sure that it's locked.
Yeah.
We had a horse could undo that. He could undo that thing, and it was hard for us boys to get that thing unlatched. When Daddy would latch it with that particular latch, it had two latches on the barn besides a chain and a lock. If you left it unlocked, that horse knew it. But if that chain was around and that lock was, you just hooked the lock in it. Now, he could flip that lock out. But if you just hooked it in there and made out like it was locked, didn't have to lock it, just, you know, bring your ends around where it squared off. He wouldn't fool with it. But if you left that lock hanging off like that, you know, where that the hasp was turned away from the lock itself, he'd flip it right out. And he'd open it. He'd pull that chain out of that hole. But if you had that thing where the lock was pulled around and straight across, not pushed in, but just straight across like he was going to lock it, you know, but it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't fool with it. But you leave that thing turned off like that and he'd flip it right out.
Now that's a horse.
That's a horse. I never owned a horse in my life. That's dead weight. That's a waste of time.
It's more than that.
What's that? It's expensive.
It consumes a lot of time.
Yeah. Your wife ain't said a word, has she? Oh, yeah, by the way, you know you do a very good job singing.
Singing?
Uh-huh. I had the awfulest experience here that day after you and your mother left. I put that outlet in over there, and I stooped down at him to drill a hole, you know, get my saw in that, start sawing. I was drilling away in that, and my knee hit that recorder there. That I see it still sitting over there with the lever sticks out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had these blocks piled down there from that you had underneath this TV under it, just pushed them under out of the way, and that thing hit that, and it clicked it on. And heard this soft music, you know, and I said, well, where in the world? I said, somebody drove up out there. And I come out and I walked around and went out and looked, and nobody come back. And as soon as I got back to the door, I heard this music, you know, and somebody singing then. I said, well, John Brown, where is that coming from? So I walked out that door then. I opened it and listened in there. Couldn't hear nothing. So I come back. And all the time, it was right under me then. I went back to work. I said, well, I know it's not no spook in this house, you know, because I don't believe in spooks. And that thing kept eating on me. And finally, that music quit and somebody went talking. I said, John Brown, I got to find whatever it is. And at all this equipment here, you know, I began to look. I looked and looked. I said, well, it can't be nothing on. Electricity's off. All this power was off because I was working on it. Couldn't be nothing on it. And there that recorder was laying under there. And it tipped over. And I had them blocks up there. And it just tipped over enough to trip that lever. Boy, I'm telling you, that thing had me bothered for about 15 minutes. I couldn't figure out nothing about it.
You know, there's some good music on them. I take Cookie, the whole family, sings.
Who is this?
Oh, he's just an old farm boy over here. And his wife got a beautiful voice. I mean, she...
Oh, is that her? That's her. I thought it was your wife. I thought that was your wife singing.
I don't know what you got.
Don't know what I got. I got it off of that box yonder.
Well,
that's where I got it from.
Over there.
That recorder.
Well, I don't know what recorders are.
But, this
this would be bad.
No, this is all right. I'm drinking this.
Yeah, I said this would be bad.
This is fine. Yeah, don't worry about me.
Well, I want a little bit.
This is fine.
I don't know what in the world
happened
to it.
That's just fine. But you know, let's see, what was that now? The song was A Christmas Carol.
Yes, that's right. That's Cookies.
And it was beautiful, I thought.
Well, Christmas carols weren't... Did she sing it?
It was a lady.
White Christmas.
A lady sung it.
Oh,
By herself.
That was beautiful.
Yeah. And then before that, though, there was some children singing. And that's what I first heard. A faint, you know, and the recorder was not, there was no volume on it, mounting anything.
Yeah.
It was low. The volume was real low. And them children didn't speak up, you know. And I couldn't detect it. I couldn't get it. Couldn't make up my mind where it was coming from. But that woman went to singing. She's got a stronger, more powerful voice.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it was...
you needed
it. It had to be right here, you know. When I came back and started back to work, them children were still singing, you know, and it sounded like it was way off in the distance, you know. Well, I thought it was possibly somebody, some family down the road there, some children, you know. But then that woman started singing. Great Lord.
I've been wanting to come down there and make a tape of one of your services. And I've got this little thing right here, and you can keep it and play it. And the whole thing sounds different if you take it home, Willie. So you can just take that with you. I mean, keep it.
Oh, no. Well, shoot, I'm liable to break that thing, man. What you talking about?
Well, you don't break your stuff.
I can't afford to be paying for no recorder. Tape recorders cost money.
That didn't cost much.
Man, shoot.
That's cheap.
Might be cheap to you, but I ain't got no money.
Well, anyhow, it'd be nice.
Oh, yeah.
It would be nice.
We had a...
You got a...
Wonderful... Preached a wonderful sermon yesterday.
Well, that's it. And you see, the next time you hear it, I found... I don't go to any services unless I take them anymore.
You know that?
No. All I do is just take it along and stick it up there. And when he starts preaching, I turn the button and sit down and bite down.
You mean you put that up there where he's speaking, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't sound right.
It's blurry. It's garbled if it's
yeah.
Away from me. Yeah.
Yeah, you want to put it right up there where he talks into it. And then it sounds better. Actually, it sounds better that way at home than it does when you hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. But
there's something about a recorder that filters out, but yet... there will be backgrounds if you're not particular that it's filtered in that you don't want, you know.
All this these heaters that turn on and all that electric equipment,
that's what I say, is background stuff but if it really for a voice, it seems to richen the voice, makes it richer or something.
Yeah.
But that, flip that thing and see if that. Have you played that since I was in here?
Mm-hmm.
You have? Mm-hmm. Well, you probably noticed it was cut off in the middle of the song.
Since you were here, I've, all last week, I taped the, accent program over there.
Oh, you did?
That was Tuesday, Monday and Tuesday, it was all evening. And, the rest of the week, it was either the morning, afternoon, and evening. And, now this is 120 minutes.
Oh.
45 minutes on each side. That's not, I mean, hour and a half.
Yeah.
What was that? Whatever it is.
Hour and a half.
90 minutes, is that right?
Hour and a half, 90 minutes, yeah.
90 minutes. Now I got 10 of those.
Hmm. You going?
Program. Governor Kurtz on there?
No.
He's
Bessette key. Holland and Smathers
no,
and
no.
all that bunch.
He was a keynoter.
Oh yeah, I you know I read that right here. You had four or five programs here, and I read about
that's
that.
It. That's that accent program.
I read that whole thing.
Ever blessed one and taped every one of them, and put the.
What'd you do that for?
Well, it's on conservation. And
would you? Yeah, I wouldn't waste time taping old Kurt. That's a waste of money.
Well, he was one of the best on this.
I tell y'all, hard to get a rise out of this morning. Look at the squirrel going in the feed box. Lee Underwood, squirrel in the feed box.
He, I didn't put any feed out there this morning.
Hopping around there.
Well, I tell you, that squirrel up there. I didn't put out any feed. That's the first squirrel I've ever seen up there.
Look at him pulling around. You know they're cute the way they pull this around.
Uh-huh.
Well, they ate, that rascal ate a hole in one of my horse's pads. They've been down there just raising heck.
Yeah.
Well, you reckon that wasn't a rat? A squirrel wouldn't do that. A squirrel don't eat pads. That's a rat does that.
No, I don't
think so. Little thing hanging off yonder, you know, it's just hanging around there.
Yeah.
I love to watch him eat. You know, take a nut or something and they'll hold it like this end on there, blah, 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 or just that bottom jaw just quivering. It ain't really hardly moving, look like.
Oh, yeah, just going like a.
Mm-hmm. I put, had a whole bunch of nuts here, oh, several years ago, a tree out there. It's only really bore twice since I've been living there. Really produced, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I gave away quite a few and I had some that got old, and they get old quick, you know, just.
This cover's better than that.
Out of storage. This is fine. And I began to put them out, you know, around the tree roots. I had an old holler. I cut a limb off about that big off my live oak. It come up about that high off the ground, you know, and it's just a pretty good sized tree like this.
Oh, right down close to the ground.
And this limb was about this big, and I sawed it off to make the tree look better, you know.
Uh-huh.
Well, I sawed it just square off with the idea of the squirrel sitting up there, you know. And, in just a year or so, the sap began to grow up and made a cup. And so I just fill that thing up with nuts. And then just sit out there in the back and watch them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Run up then. Now, they don't haul that thing unless it's good. They ain't going to haul it and store it unless it's good. They got more sense. And he'd go, like that one time on that thing, he'd just do his teeth like that. And if it's no good, he can spit that thing from me at that counter right straight out.
Is that right?
And there was a lot of them was done. Dried up, you know, there's no meat in them.
Well,
and that joker, he just cut it, he just one time, he'd do his teeth on it like that, and he'd spit it out, and he'd get another. And if it was solid, he'd go down the trunk and leave that tree. Now, he wouldn't, and he'd go off, trotting off on the ground till he'd get out to this huge cedar tree. Then he climbed up the cedar tree. And then he goes from tree to tree, going back into the woods,
mm-hmm.
with that nut sticking in his mouth. And after a while, he comes back, you know. And he's very particular that other insects, varmints, things don't see him go to that tree. He goes over and he goes to this tree and goes way around, comes back, and then he sits out and raises up on his hind legs and he looks, you know, looks around. They're like a human. And if he don't see anything, he gets down and he sneaks through the leaves over to that tree and he climbs very easily up the trunk and he reaches over and then gets him a nut, you know, and he checks it and if it's good, he takes back out and does the same thing, you know, sneaks around. goes off out this way, and he goes all the way around, goes way around, and he comes back and goes out that old big cedar tree. He goes up in the cedar tree, and then he goes from tree to tree on back in the woods. He's storing them nuts somewhere back in this. And he works until he gets all of them. Oh, I had about a pint or near a quart maybe between a pint and a quart in it. And he works until he gets every one of them nuts moved one by one.
He won't go right direct to it.
No, he don't go directly to it. Yeah, he goes in off in a roundabout way. He don't want nobody to find his place of storage. But what tickled me, though, was the way he tests those nuts.
I never seen that.
Yes, sir.
I noticed it.
You've seen them when they're scratched,
yeah,
laying on the ground?
Yeah.
Ain't no need to pick them up. They ain't no good.
Yeah.
They ain't no good. I've seen this home. We, of course, there's not as many now as there was because a lot of the old trees have died. But back when I was a kid, I had 10, 15 trees down there, you know, and around the squirrels chew on them, you know, and if it's laying on the ground underneath the tree now, it might be a good nut. He probably might have dropped it, but that's very, very seldom that they drop one, unless it's a bad one.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't going to lose much. Mm-hmm. But now, you can get away from that tree and out under the huge old live oak tree, and you find them scratched on out there. Chances are you just right and well not pick them up because they are no good. He done test that thing and it's hollering. And they can tell, they can cut it, scratch it one time with that tooth. And it's just like what do you call these things that a probe that they hunt for metal, you know, or a mine detector, what I'm thinking about. Just like a mine detector, that one tooth cuts that thing and that's all that's necessary. And he can flip it out like that, you know, and get him another.
Yeah. Just flip it out.
Yeah, beating his thing just like that, and that nut's gone. And then he picks him up another. I got a piece of bag at the house I want to put out. They're not, they're about all solid, but they're old. They got kind of rancid, you know. But up in Carolina, there's no nuts around home. Even down at Mama's, there's no crops, just very few.
Yeah.
But, and the crop was short up, all the way up. And the people along the wayside are selling refrigerated nuts, you know.
Oh.
And last year crop, you know, and they put them on refrigeration, and then they take them off and get on those wayside stands, you know, and sell them. I think $1, $2 for them little old bags, you know. And they ain't no good. To me, they're not. I can tell they're old. Well, anyway, that was back here in December. Brother and Seth went up Carolina to carry some of our folks some fruit. And some of the older people, you know, can't get around. Some of them people come down here and you give them a bushel of fruit to carry up there, and them folks don't get it. Those old fellas that can't move, can't get around, they don't get no fruit. Them boys don't carry it to them. They say, oh yeah, I'll carry them. Well, if they have to buy it up there, you know, it costs pretty much. And most anybody that don't have fruit, especially citrus, you know, oranges and such, they seem to be crazy about it, you know. And they're just like I am by peaches. When I get in a peach orchard, I don't know what to do but just to eat and get as many as I can to carry home. So they're the same way by citrus. And so we went up there to carry some of the older people some fruit, carried about 6-8 bushels of oranges and tangerines and stuff.
Yeah.
And first cousin of ours told us, well, says, you know, he says, pecans is hard to find. But he says, I found an old man that's got a young grove, or whatever you want to call them, had about 25 trees, I'd say. And them was the best nuts I've eaten in my life. They were the best. They taste something similar to a walnut. They wasn't, they were about that long, but fat. Stubby, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you could just take them and crack them in your hand like that. And eat, man, they're the best eating nuts. And I hauled out just by hand. We usually use a cracker, you know. But with them, you don't need it. I'd rather crack them with my hand like that and hull them out and get halves all the time. Never get a chip or a broke halve, you know, just get plumb full halves. And we went there, though, and Van said he wanted 30 cents a pound for it. Brother said, well, says, I want 50 pounds. And he weighed him out 50 pounds, and I said, well, I can't go no 50 pounds, but I said, I'd take about 25. And so he weighed the, had some of these picking baskets, you know. You know what I'm talking about? Peach baskets with the handle on. Mm-hmm. And he had some left in this cardboard box. He weighed them out, and then he, cousin of mine, he knows the old fella pretty well, you know, and so he just picked up the basket and set it on the scales. He said, oh, he said, you got a good 20 pounds there. And I told him after that, I said, you ought to be shot beating that old man like that. And then taking his basket too, put it in the back of the car, and we taking off. Well, anyway, I had about 35 pounds of pecans and good ones. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were just as good.
Still got some?
Oh, no, not first one. Them kids of mine, both of them, you know, they, from time to time, they...
they do them little, off, pack them off.
Oh, yes, they do a little mooching around, you know. And they got where they're bad about my things that I love. I love any kind of peanuts or any kind of nut. I love it. And now they got to where, you know, they go probing around hunting to see what I got stashed away. Might do like a squirrel going around about way.
Well, let me tell you, I picked this up from my neighbor. She had a picture in the paper. They put a whole page in the Gainesville Sun about this woman who has feeding stations. And it turned out to be, they saw it, and it turned out to be right behind our place in town.
Oh.
And she was talking away, you know, they get interested in those things. They just talk a little split, try to tell you everything while you're standing there. And I told her I like Blue Jays, so she started out on Blue Jays. And she said they'd come up there and just stand there and eat and fill up the pouch.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I didn't know a blue jay had a pouch. Why, she said, a blue jay's got a pouch under here just like a possum.
Oh.
And he'll stand there and fill that thing up so full, he can't hardly get away.
I
haven't had a chance to look at it since then.
I never noticed it. I never heard of it.
They come out here, but they don't, I don't have enough stuff for them out there.
Well, they was blue jays and everything here the other day when I was working here. They seemed to come, I was out eating lunch, and I sit on that the picnic table out there eating lunch.
Yeah.
And they seemed to come in there just about every kind. Come in there, you know what, right at lunchtime. I sit down and watch them. They didn't pay me no mind, you know. They just flew right on in.
Yeah, really?
Didn't pay me a bit of mind.
No,
of course, I didn't try to startle them or scare them or anything. I just sit there, you know, kind of easy like, because I was interested in watching them. But actually, to me, these little old birds like you got right there are very, well, they can haul off more grain than anything I know of. Now, they're around my feed box.
Oh, there's too many of them.
Yeah, but you know, guy, when they'll be on the ground while the cows is eating.
Yeah.
Be all around, and you can move, and it look like the earth is rising.
Yeah.
It'd be just that thick, you know. It look like the earth just pulsates, you know, like that, you know. And just boo-boos up everywhere. But they can, them little rascals, they can truck off a lot of grain. Of course, now the grain that goes on the ground down there, they might well get it because it ain't going to do nobody no good.
What I can't understand is why those little blackbirds will come to this station, or any of them really, but especially that. My tack room down there is where I feed the horses. I spill grain all over the place down there. I can't help it. And all they have to do is just sit there and eat, but they'd a lot rather steal it from up here.
They don't fool around down there.
Not much. They come up here and try to. What
do
they take?
No, I have plenty. Thank you.
That
I have plenty.
Trouble.
I got.
Oh, yeah, right there.
Got to see about this thing. Is that my cap down there on the floor? I guess it is. Is that kicks it on the table? What I was going to say, if you want another outlet here, behind this TV here, a singer like I got on the other end, help me move this out.
All right.
But we won't do it today, but I say if you want one back there, you want one? You see, these two outlets in the center here, they on a circuit different to that one on the end over there.
Yes.
And that, I could put another one back here, a single, or as many you wanted, but I just suggest a single. It would be on the same circuit with that one up there. You'd have two on one circuit, two on another circuit.
Mm-hmm.
See this, that one on the other end down there. Is that on the circuit right by itself?
Turn that light on over there. Up a little bit.
And you're not even using it. Why don't need to put it in there?
What's that?
That outlet I put there, that receptacle. Why don't need to put it in there? You're not using it.
Well, I will.
You surprised me, man. I thought you'd have had a whole bunch of conglomeration of adapters and things all stuck in there like that. I had a wire, I had an outlet circuit.
Yeah.
Well, I get under the house and I go plundering around and I come back and I look and I go under and I look and I come back and I look and I wore myself out. I said, I know there's something got to be around here somewhere because I made those marks and I knew that I had something somewhere, so I kept crawling around out of the house. I finally found this.
Did you?
So this is on the circuit by itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I could put one over here and one over there, which if you want it now.
Well, let me tell you, I hadn't even noticed it was there.
Oh, come on. Come on now.
I saw this over here, you see, where you got all those.
And you got everything loaded right down on that one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, look at that. It looks like a porcupine.
Yeah.
It's 2, 4, 5.
Looks like a telephone stand.
But you can ship this TV here and any of this equipment here down on this one.
Yeah.
See, that'll split the TVs. You have one TV on one circuit and one on another. It won't be pulling as much off of the same circuit.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
If this circuit goes dead, you still got this one over here.
Yeah.
And that's the reason I was trying to find to split the thing. You know, I didn't know whether you want it, but that's what I was working for.
Yeah.
And I finally got it split up to where this end over here will be on the circuit and that end over there.
That's perfect. Yeah, that's perfect.
And then to this middle here, or this one here, if you put another one on that end, you can still, if this circuit goes out in the middle, you can still use your TVs on the same circuit by plugging in this and up here. Or if these go out here, you can just bring them back to what you got now.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, you can still work both of them.
Mm-hmm.
With this one here, you'd have to get an extension to come down to this thing or to pick it up. You understand? Which I see you got a lot of them things hanging around.
You know, there ought to be short extensions, just a little piece. See, I've got one wrapped up there.
I noticed all that. Actually, that's hazardous.
Yes.
With so much, this wire here is not too good for carrying current. It was designed to carry this. Just this one light.
Yeah.
One bulb.
Yeah.
And this is about a 20.
Yeah.
Which carries one light all right, but it's not made for an extension to hold.
Yeah.
Say, for instance, like you bring this around here, this here works lights and things. That they're more likely a 16.
Yes.
Where that's plugged in.
Yeah.
But this here is 20 here. It's plugged into that, which for lights that wouldn't be too bad.
Yeah.
But that wouldn't be any. I wouldn't run no TV on that.
No.
But
tape recorder doesn't take much.
No, you record it, don't take much. But we've had from time to time, rather say we, I have had and seen a lot of trouble with these little cords like this. Now, Mama had one get them from the dime store, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She had that thing laying down on the floor running a little old radio in the bedroom. It's been about, oh, 10, 12, 15 years ago. Now, she had the outlet at the head of the bed loaded down with cloth. First one job or another, you know. And so she went across the room and picked up, excuse me over there, and brought this thing across and hung this little old transistor, a little old radio on the bed, you know. So it's right across the doorway, just like that.
Yeah.
Going through there, and it's plugged in on the corner here, which goes into another bedroom. See,
yeah.
Her bedroom goes
yeah.
into the brother's bedroom in the back there. Although he can come in from the other side to his bedroom, but that door, they got a dresser put there and got it closed off, so he just walks through Mama's bedroom, you know, because it's just the two of them staying there. And walking across that thing, and she pulled the bed up, you know, to sweep behind that, and rolled her, the caster on the bed, you know, rolled up on the wire. And so one night, she goes to sleep, and she wakes up, has a sweat, wondering what this awful smell is.
Yes.
There's an awful smell around the head of the bed, and it's dark, you know, and she flips the light on, and smoke just boiling all around the head of the bed, because she jumps up and finds out that your wire is burning. And it's burning across the floor, you know, going right through the rug, old throw rug there, you know.
Yeah.
And it's just spewing, burning that old rubber insulation off. Of course, she goes over there and pulls it out and goes, crawl back in the bed and goes to sleep.
Well,
I couldn't do that because I'm conscious of
yeah.
this, you know. But
yeah.
she goes in there and she just just pulls the cord out and jumps in the bed and goes to sleep. And so, a day or two later, she told me about it. And I said, oh, I said, my goodness alive. I said, you ought to know better than to put that cord across the traffic way there.
Yeah.
Much less up against that. That's what really did it was the bump.
Well, now, they say not to put them under a rug
no,
either.
Don't put it under a rug. Because it's more apt to get damaged than it would be otherwise, because you know it's there by seeing it, you know. If it's under there, something could hit it.
Well, it looks like that rug, though, would protect it.
Well, something could hit it and cut the insulation, which would make it short out and burn the rug up.
Even under the rug? Be unusual, wouldn't it?
Not so.
Well, let me tell you, you've already punched the clock. I need to rest just a minute. I had a bad weekend.
Punch the clock?
What? Huh?
What
do
you mean, punch the clock?
Well, you already punched the clock. You.
No, man, I got to go to work. Tell me a story, though, and let me go.
No, I want you to tell you. What was your preacher jumping you last night?
Oh, no.
Well, were you jumping the preacher?
Oh, yes, sure. Yes. You talking about the reason I didn't come home.
Last night, yeah.
Well,
all just getting tied up there.
We had a...
sit down, don't get in a hurry.
Baptismal services.
Oh.
That two people were baptized last night. Of course, I take care of all that, you know.
Yeah.
And after all this is through, I have to clean up the place,
oh,
you know, and drain off the water. And it takes about 1,500 to 2,000 gallons of water to fill this old tank. We went way out of proportion when we had it built.
Oh, you mean you do it right there on the premises?
Oh, yes. We have it right in the building. And I have to do all of that. I have to clean up, mop up all the water, and clean up behind everybody, you know. And I don't have to, but I've been doing it for 15, 20 years. Well, we've been doing that baptistry. We built that auditorium in 1949,
yeah.
and I've been doing it with exceptions of three times maybe that I didn't do it.
Yeah.
I've done it since 1949, which is about 20 years, maybe 21 years this October, I believe. 22 years, rather. And, of course, this boy we have now, you haven't heard him preach, I know, he's a young boy, just started in business, and he was, actually, he hasn't finished his schooling down in the land. Well, it's doubtful that he will ever finish it unless he gets in a church which pays him more money and he can have more time for study.
Yeah.
He's part-time working. We can't afford a preacher and completely pay him.
Full-time preacher.
That's right, to take care of all of his needs. Can't do it.
You got enough money, but it just don't shake loose.
There's enough money in the community to do it, but that's right, it don't shake loose. But, We, anyway, this boy, he's real good. He's 23 years old. That's been a see. He was right at 22 when he came there to preach. And so he just hung around. And, of course, after I got to mopping up and cleaning up and everything, was turning out the lights. Why, moon was beautiful, you know.
Yeah.
We walked out in front. It was rather warm.
Yeah.
It was nice. And so this was about 9:30 when I got through. And excuse me. So we just stood there talking, you know. And I told him, I said, you know, I said, I got to go home. I said, my wife liable to come back down here to see what's holding me up. Because when she left, she said, you coming on now? I said, I'll be on just as soon as I get through cleaning up. And in fact, then she come back to the back to see how much more I had to do. And I said, I'll be on. I'll be there shortly. Well, anyway, she met me at the corner turning in there and met me in the preaching. Coming back down there to see what happened. But,
where do you have your reservoir, your tank?
You've been in the church.
Yeah.
You see that oval shaped window thing?
Yeah.
Right behind the pulpit?
Yeah.
That's it. It's elevated.
Oh, I see.
It's elevated.
I see. It stays there all the time.
Oh,
you have to move it.
That's right. It's elevated up.
Well, you couldn't just leave the water in it. No, you'd have to drain it.
Well, there ain't but one thing about leaving the water in it. You'd have to have a tank, a top put over it, and then you'd have to have a purifier when you went to use it because it'd be soured. This happened one of the times that I was not in charge or was not there. I came back. The man filled the tank, but he didn't take time to clean up a drain off anything.
Mm-hmm.
After the service was over, they just closed up and left.
Yeah.
And I just happened to go up there and opened the door and looked in at the tank there. You know, you come in the door this way, and then this door goes into the tank, and then over here there's another door that goes out and goes into the men's side. See, the men's on that side, and the ladies on this side. And so I just happened to, I don't know why, I looked in, and there was a tank of water there, and it had a scum of dust on it. You know, it's amazing how that dust accumulates. Especially inside of a house. But it had a crust of dust on it and was beginning sour.
Uh-huh.
Because of the old dust and stuff that settled on top of it. Well, I turned it up, you know, and I opened the valve up and turned. Well, next day I went down there and I taken an old broom and slushed it up, you know, and just kept slushing it while it was draining to keep that broke up where it wouldn't settle right down on the bottom, where a lot of it drained out the drain. But it, you could hardly stand up on that floor.
Mm.
When, you know, trying to clean it out, you had to get down in there to mop it out, you know. Mm. It was just slick, got bogged, just a slick. No water wouldn't keep running. Actually, it's not built right. It's a galvanized tank. And you'd have to chop it up and giblets to get it out of there. We put it in there in the building when we were building it.
Mm-hmm.
Before we ever got it all framed, we got this thing built up there and then had Marion Heat, I believe it was, down here at Ocala, to build a tank, or Goodell or one, I don't forgot which it was. And they brought it out on a big truck, and we made some skids across the, we had the wall built up. Block wall, outside wall. Now where this tank sits, inside the center of the building back there, it's blocked up too, with concrete blocks. It's, you know, to hold the tanks. Well, we made put some timbers up there and got about 6, 8, 10 people, you know, under it. We picked it up, and partially picked it and skidded it up on this top. And then we skidded it over and then skidded it, let it down the roof down into that concrete block thing that we had built for it to sit in. And I didn't help form that base for it to sit on. And it might have been 22 years ago, you might say, almost. I wouldn't even thought about it myself, even. But they didn't make no preparations for drainage.
Oh.
You know, the thing is, even it seems like that form that put in there, that base, is made out of tongue and groove, 2x8s.
Yeah.
Shiplap, they call it. And that sits down on this. And this is all built into the block, you know, as it come up.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't, it should have been elevated, you know, to where that the water would all run to the drain. Instead, it seemed like it's humped up where the drain is. And you can't hardly get that water out of the tank. You have to keep, well, it's the base, bottom of it is long hit the bottom of that cabinet over there. And it's, 4 foot wide, which is too big. And so you to hem all that water up into that thing, even with a mop, you've got a problem. Best thing to do is to take a tub or a bucket, big bucket, get you a mop, and mop it up, squeeze it in there, and then take that tub and try to pour it under that drain without missing it. Because one drop, you know, runs over there, you feel like you got to catch it up. I do. So it takes a while to get it cleaned out.
Well, it looks to me like that baptism stuff is right inconvenient.
And I put in a heater. No, it's very convenient this way. It's better than hunting a pond that would be clean enough to duck them in. And as cold as it, you know, used to whenever we was kids of a person joining the church, you know, just waiting until summertime baptized. Because it cooled too cold. You couldn't carry them out, you know, and chug them in the wintertime.
Well, I had it. Do you ask that you chug them in? What do you do with them in the house there?
We got rooms for them going to, that's heated.
And change clothes?
Change clothes. We got the clothes and everything right there, you know. And you duck them and they just walk right back out and go right into the dressing room there, which I usually carry extra electric heaters and put a heater in each room.
Yeah.
And,
okay.
So I can make it hot enough in that room to sweat you on a cold day, a cold night,
mm-hmm.
which is really not necessary. But we just started, I've been borrowing a heater from this outfit up Gainesville, and they quit. They quit using this type of heater because it's too expensive. These heaters run around, that they were using, run around $75 to $80. And actually, they were just a big element, as all of them are just a big element. They just had it hooked onto had a wire, soldered on that, and it take the garden hose and run down over that wire, and then doped it at the end, you know, to keep water from getting in there and shortened out, and put that thing out in the tank, you know, and whenever it gets what they thought is near knocking the chill off of it, well, you just drag it out, cut it off, and drag it out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, every time, even in the little moisture gets electricity, you know, if it's on, of course, it blows the helmet up. And so they went to the heat pump system, which is rather expensive, cost about $500-$600 to install this thing. And
you mean they got all that out there?
Not out here, no. But the church that I was borrowing the portable element from.
I see.
Well, when they blew their last element, well, they quit with it.
Mm-hmm.
They said, we're not fooling with it no more, it's too expensive. So I couldn't get an element. Everywhere I tried to borrow one of these people, they had either they were borrowing themselves or either they had a stationary heating system.
Mm-hmm.
Some people use regular hot water heaters. Some churches have got just regular hot water heaters put in there, and they run the water through this hot water heater, and they have two or three heaters running at the same time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they have this water pipe through these heaters, and they just turn these spigots on, you know, and they run the water right out of these hot water heaters into the tank, which can be very expensive. So I go to Hughes Supply, and I get their catalog down on heating units, elements, and hot head. And I ordered this thing, cost $120-some, but it was only used last night, the first time it had been used.
Mm-hmm.
I wired it to, just to run that circuit up there, cost about, I imagine, between $35 and $40, just to run the circuit up there. And it ain't doing the job.
I told preacher last night, I said, well, I guess church is gonna run me off. Of course, I really, me and another boy put the thing in.
When you get equipment like that, you can't try it out, see if it'll work, and take it back, can you?
Not this, anyway. Yeah, you see, this is I made on order. They don't stock this stuff. It's you. It takes from 3 months, 3 to 6 months to get these pieces of equipment built, because the company that builds it, I think it's in Indiana somewhere, that builds this kind of stuff, they don't have anything on display. They just show you diagrams and pictures of what they can build for you.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And then you pick out what you think would serve your purpose, and then you write them and tell them that you'd like to have this built.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I did. But I got a 4,400 watt element, and I had it built with a watertight pipe, inch pipe that goes down and comes up. I got a junction, watertight junction up here on top of this pipe. And this element is on the end of this, which is all watertight, to get away from this thing that these other people have been having, where they that you just buy this element and then you hook your wires on it right there. Well, you got to put that element in the water to get it to, if you turn it on outside of water, it blows the element up. It's got to be in the water before you turn it on. But if any moisture gets to that contact or that where your connection's at, where you connected the wire, it then shorts out the element and blows it out. It won't blow a fuse. It busts that element. And so this is my concoction of a heater that this pipe comes straight up, see.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got a watertight deal put on up here with my cable running out and plugged into a receptacle over here on the side of the wall, which you use a regular stove, deal where I can get enough current to that. But it ain't heating. It ain't heating like, it don't heat as good as that little old, that's about 3,200, I believe, that I borrowed from that church up in Jane. And this is 4,400. And it don't heat as good as that. I don't know what's wrong with it, but it just don't.
Well, why don't you just send it back and tell them don't heat?
Yeah, they won't take it.
That it won't do what they said it does.
This is something that I asked for, and they built it according to what I wanted.
Well, they still got a.
But they tell you whenever you get it, it's yours. That's the first thing when you first contact them on something. They write you right back and they say, "Now, you sure this is what you want? If this is what you want, we build it. But it's yours when we get it built. We don't build nothing and take it back. There's no taking back. So if it don't do your job, it's yours right on." But they give you ideas, to go on and suggestions. You see, I ordered a heat pump, and I thought this heat pump cost $104.5. And not heat pump, but a heater. By looking at the drawings of this thing, I figured out just what we needed. So the company wrote a letter back and said, if you want this, you undoubtedly have a heat pump. And if you have a heat pump, you have this heater, and if there's something wrong with the heater and we build it, we have replacement parts. And so I didn't know what I was getting into. So then I get a price list on what it takes to put this in, the various items that's necessary and needed, so it runs up there, just parts alone, $280-some, see.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I couldn't afford it. And the people that was donating to this cause wouldn't even hear to it, So I was very grateful to the company that they wrote this letter and told me that I needed this. See, I needed this circulating pump. And other things that I needed a high temperature control. I needed a low temperature control to work this particular heater. And these controls cost $47. And man, you tell some of them boys down at that church, the little old control, the little electronic control cost $40-some, they just go up in the air, they can't comprehend such, or what this is, it's a thing that constantly keeps the temperature there in a range, within a range, electronically, you know. You don't have to fool with it anything. It keeps this water completely, the whole surface of water, the whole tank, one temperature. And by doing this, it agitates the water. See, this thing comes on and agitates the water.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing, the water is not, the heating process does not come about putting the water into the tank, but you fill your tank up to what you want. And then you start this circulating pump, and when you start circulating pump, it automatically starts a heater, and it automatically sets juvenates these various devices that you got, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And all you got to do is switch this one switch, and it automatically, this one switch, and process as needed, all these other things come in automatically. And you can't use this wet thing without getting all this other to go with it, because it's designed for that. See, and I didn't know.
And you couldn't just get a good pond out there somewhere?
Got one right back of the church.
Well, what's wrong with that?
People don't like to be baptized in men of water.
In what?
In men of water.
Men of water.
You mean really?
Yeah, I was ducked in the pond right up here out in Micanopy. But
they don't do it anymore?
Some churches do, but when we built this church, we decided we'd go big city job, you know. Bad.
Yeah.
A lot of the churches don't have them. We use people around use ours.
Oh, really?
We even had some Methodists that used it.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Well, you couldn't use somebody else's.
Well, there was no one near around at the time that had one. I guess we were the first out in the woods out there to have one. Of course, they had one in McIntosh, but we didn't dare come over here and ask McIntosh to use theirs.
Oh, did they have one?
Oh, yes, they had one for a long time.
Why couldn't you use McIntosh?
Well, I guess we could, but like I say, we wouldn't dare ask them to let us use their baptistry.
You wouldn't dare ask them to use it?
Let us use it.
Yeah.
Getting back to the Methodist, though, I ain't joking. You're a Methodist, aren't you?
Yeah.
We've had several Methodists come in and ask to be baptized.
Is that right?
They didn't believe in sprinkling. They believed in complete immersion.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when the people got money, they got a place to put it on.
Oh, yes.
And it's hard to shake loose.
It's hard to shake loose, man. I'm telling you. We had this preacher. He was, tell you this, and I got to go before it starts to rain. I hate to be running out and in the house and it rains. You reckon it's going to rain? What did man say?
He said it might. North Florida. Is this North Florida?
Yeah. Part of it is North Florida. Part of Central North. Part of Central.
Yeah.
Yeah, you hear folks say this is Central Florida, and I hear some of them say North Central, and I hear some of them say it's North Florida. So it's just whatever you want to take.
Yeah.
Take it, y'all. Talking about money, though, I had this old preacher. He was I didn't like him at all. I guess he's a good Christian man, but I mean his style of method preaching. We used to have some good Methodists that come to our church, and they come there and they enjoyed it.
Some good
Methodists. And they enjoyed coming, and they come regular. And then we got this old, crazy old Baptist preacher. I mean, you know, every time he opens his mouth, it's Baptist, you know. Baptist this and Baptist done this and Baptist done that and Baptist done the other, you know. Well, when I was a youngin' and didn't know no better, I didn't know that there was Methodist.
Yeah.
But I grew up, and when I grew up, my mind expanded to accept Methodist and all other denominations, because if I feel like that I'm going to be saved because I'm a Methodist, I'm a fool, because it's not so. If it had been this way, there wouldn't have been anything but Baptists. But it wasn't this way, see, so there's Methodists. But this old bird, he gets up there and he preaches about what the Methodists do and what the Baptists do, and the Baptists this and the Baptists that, and yak, yak, yak. And here we've got some awful good Methodists. That's your point. Got some awful good Methodist people there who have donated to our cause, who have taken part in our functions, who have...
Oh, really?
Yes. Been on trips with us. Brotherhood meeting. Even went to vacation Bible school, clinic schools, and who helped very diligently teach our children in the summer Bible, you know. And this old man, he heard them to no end. And they left. They didn't show back. And so he said to me, he says, well, there's, what's this old fella's name? Who is he that sit over there on the right about every other Sunday, every third Sunday or so I'd see him? I said, well, he was a good Methodist. Oh, he was he? Oh, yeah. Well, what's wrong with him? I said, well, we got to talking bad, so strong we run him off. And anyway, he just constantly, you know, preaching this Baptist doctrine, Baptist. And I got so full of it until I mentioned the fact, you know, that I was glad that I was a Baptist and I had somebody to tell me that I was a Baptist, because really I hadn't known it for the last so many years, and I did it one night in his presence down at the church. And he was shocked. He said, you mean to tell me that you're a worker in this church, one of the head men in this church? And you, I said, well, I didn't know it until you come around, but I said, I know it now. And he said, you mean to say you've been born and raised a Baptist and didn't know better than that? I said, well, I did, but I said, I'd forgotten about it, I guess. And I said, I'm sorry, but I said, what I'm trying to say, we as Baptists know enough to know that we're Baptists. But I said, we don't need to be told about this every time you get in the pulpit. And he got mad. And I'm telling you, I got so fed up with that man. Every time I turn around, you know, it's something about what the Baptist
tell. Well, let me tell you, if a fella goes to church and starts getting fed up, now that's just not right.
Oh, but now here's what he did.
You just think, well, sir, it ain't no use me going to church, because I'm going to do today is get fed up.
But here's what he done. We had, you know, we had this, used to have a long time ago. Now, this man's, at the time he was preaching out there, he was had just been retired. He went into retirement, and then he came back out because he thought he was going to get a better church, you know. And so anyway, he says, I'm going to take a poll on the tithes of this church. Well, you know, when you get talking about how much you gave and how much various ones give, you get treading on treacherous grounds.
You mean in public?
Yes.
Openly, that
openly.
Is.
Openly. And so he said, do you tithe? Do you tithe? And you tithe? And you tithe? Well, Baptists have got a little card that they pass out to the members, you know, and you fill it out as to whether you're a tither or not. And you turn it back into the church, and they keep record of this. And whenever the minutes are turned in for the annual accomplishments, this is recorded in an annual. And, of course, each member of the church can buy one each year if he wants it. Or there's always one donated from the association to the church for office references. So, we never did do this. Because we tried it one time, and most of the best tithers, as this old fellow used to be out there, he called them, you know, the way it's spelled, he's pronounced it like it kind of spells tithers. Tithers. And he'd get up in church and say he was a tither. And us young ones would laugh, you know. But anyway, he figured it out by asking various questions of various different people as to what does this man do here? What's his occupation? And, you know, he's a plumber, and he's an electrician, and he's a carpenter, and he's a farmer, and he's a ranch hand, and he's this and that. So he estimates the wages. And he puts notes on the bulletin board that we behind some, I don't got now several thousand dollars that month in tithes. Boy, I'm telling you, he was hard to deal with. And he says, you're robbing God. And you shouldn't do this. And I advise you to bring your money on in. Boy, I'm telling you, as a rule, usually, we've always been very well blessed. We've most all the time had the amount of money that's necessary to carry on our little business out there with a little bit over. And but he heard things bad down, and we like went busted. That ain't no joke.
I remember one time you was having so much trouble there, it looks like things gonna fall apart.
Well,
now, that's been several years.
Yes, we had awful time there.
Awful time.
They
quit coming to church and quit tithing.
This
quit paying.
Same time.
Yeah.
It's just several years back. This fella's name was Wood. Waldo Wood. I'll never forget the old gentleman.
Yeah.
But he went on to say, you know it, naming off the various plumbing jobs, you know, the various jobs, and he's told, he got union wages on plumbing and electrical work and all such, you know, and back then, that time, scale on plumbing was $4.50 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had three men working in that. It was working out of a union job, you know, working on a union job, rather. And so he figured up how much they, if they were tithing, how much they would be putting into the church, and made it public notice of it.
Mm-hmm.
We know all, you know, this church of ours is a very small congregation church. I mean, you know, the congregation is small. We know each other personally, and we know who's plumbers around there, you know. And we don't have to guess. We know. And of course, them boys have been putting a little bit in the kitty. Of course, they hadn't been tithing. They hadn't been given a tenth there. But they quit, and you can feel it. You can feel it when they quit.
Mm.
You take, they give possibly between the three of them $250 a month, you know, between the three of them.
Really?
And once in a while, they would come way under that or may go over it. I'm just estimating and guessing, you know, because one of them was a first cousin of mine, and he got awful, man. And he quit giving and quit coming to church on account of that. And then several others, they quit. Well, when you cut that much money off from boys that's really drawing big money, and you cut that type of money off, why, you can feel it, and feel it immediately.
Well, then why is it that a fella can go to town and make good wages, but when he comes back out in the neighborhood or in the country, they still want him to pay him $1.50 an hour?
I feel that. That's me.
Yeah. Well, now why?
I don't know. I had a man call me the other day and told me that he wanted me. Said, I got a good bit of work I want you to do. He said, how much are you going to charge me? I said, well, I said, I'm offhand, I said, I've been charging $2.50 an hour for the work that I'm doing around. And I said, that's the way under what I draw when I'm working up game. But I said, then on the other hand, I said, I don't mind cutting off a little bit because I don't have to drive as far, you know. And he says, well, I tell you, he says, you worked for me for $1.50, didn't you? I said, yeah, 10 years ago. And I said, then wages was higher than that, but I said, I was just helping you out. And I said, I worked since then for you for nothing. And I said, I can't afford it. I said, I haven't done anything in the last 3.5-4 months but spend money. And I said, I can't afford it. I said, I can't afford to come work for you for nothing, because I said, I'm just not able to do that. I said, now, when I worked for you before, I did it on Saturdays and odd times, but I said, I just can't do it.
And now, that's one of your friends.
One of my friends. So I had another fella to call and ask me, you know, if I'd do some work for him. Then I had a fella that wanted me to build a shed for him, you know. And he asked me how much it would cost. I said, I'll tell you what I'd rather do. And this is one of your friends. I said, I'd rather just, you just pay me, I said, I charge you $2.50 an hour, and you furnish the material, and I'll build it for you just as quick as I possibly can. He said, well, I'll check into that. And I'll let you know. So he stopped by the house, told my wife, he said, I tell Willie I don't think I'm going to build that shed. He wants too much money. And
exactly.
So I don't know whether he meant too much money, or the people want too much money for the poles and the 2x4s and the tin and roofing, or what. But anyway, she said that he said I wanted too much money. But I worked, I got several books out there. Got one in my truck of bills that people owe me from 15 years back that I figured was worth keeping, you know. So I go through a set of books and I pick out all the people that I figure would pay me.
Yeah.
Several hundred dollars on this pad out there.
Yeah.
That I thought these people would eventually pay me, but they never did.
Yeah.
And then I got a set of figures at home that I decided wasn't no need to haul around, you know, with me, that might possibly want to pay the bill. So I said, I'll save these. And then I had some in third graders that I just burned up. I said, no need to hold them. They're not going to pay. They're just not, you know.
And you didn't want to just store them. For
no, there's no need to keep hauling that paper around. So I just threw them away, burned them up. And I can't afford to do that though anymore. I just can't afford
to. Well, now, this lady that grew the orchids out there, how much did, what's the